Today is sermon is entitled "Write Your Story." Can you say that?
Write your story.
Write your story. Write your story. Listen to this. I want to start this sermon by sharing an experience Joy and I had. We met this guy. His name was Mike. Not you, Mike. We met this guy, and we were on a tour. He was giving us a tour on bicycles. We were riding bikes, and he was giving us a tour on bikes. Now, when we met Mike, we didn't ask Mike for his credentials, like, you know, show me your papers. What do you, how do you know what you know? How can we be sure that you're telling us the right thing? How do we know? We just rode around with him. We trusted that he knew what he was talking about. And from the stories that he shared with us and from the experience that we were having, Joy said this. Joy said, listen to this. Joy said, riding with Mike was like reading a book. And I thought, yeah. I thought, you know, that's true. He was so personable. He was so engaging with his stories and experiences that we walked away with the wealth of knowledge. So we know so much about this, but we never really opened a book. But we learned so much just by spending time with Mike. Are you tracking me? All right. So we learn from his stories and experience. Now, who's another one that told stories? Jesus sat with his disciples and he told stories, right? Told his disciples stories. And of course, when Jesus was walking the earth, was the Bible written? No, wasn't written. So he didn't have that right, all right? So Jesus sat with his disciples and he told stories. What I'm trying to teach you today is that God will pair us with people in order for him, for God, to write stories on our hearts so that people can spend time with us and say, oh, spending time with Pastor Cherry or Ben or Sharita was like reading a book. You tracking? So we can share then in our lives the stories and the experiences that we had every day. Now, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, all right? So Jesus, his story, his life, his living, he is the way, the truth, and the life. Our lives must be based on his story, all right? So let me explain this further. Let's read the text for today. The text is 2 Corinthians 3, 1 through 3. And we're not going to do 17, 18. So we're just going to do 1 Corinthians 3, 1 through, 2 Corinthians, sorry, 3, 1 through 3. All right? Let's read the text. This is the New Living Translation, NLT. It says, are we beginning to praise ourselves again? And this is Paul talking to the Corinthians. Are we beginning to praise ourselves again? Are we like others who need to bring you letters of recommendation or who ask you to write such letters on their behalf? Surely not. The only letter of recommendation we need is you yourselves. Your lives are a letter written in our hearts. Everyone can read it and recognize our good work among you. Tracking? Clearly, you are a letter from Christ showing the result of our ministry among you. This letter is written not with pen and ink, but with the what? Spirit of the living God. It is carved not on the tablets of stone, but where? On human hearts. All right. So let's get this, the title of the sermon is Write Your Story. We're asking God to write a story on our hearts. Here's what you need to realize in order for your life experiences and your stories to have impact. The first point I want to make today is that it's God's story and it's not ours. It's God's story. We have to be unequivocally clear that it is God's story. Well, how do I know that? The Bible says, are we beginning to praise? You know, highlight it, we all read, right? Are we beginning to praise ourselves? Again, it's rhetorical. Obvious answer, no, right? Are we like others? Are we as Christians like others in the world who need to bring you letters of recommendation or who ask you to write such letters on their behalf? Surely not. So the point is, we don't need any letters or recommendations to authenticate our spirituality. The Corinthians were questioning whether or not Paul was authentic. Are you really the man of God? Just like I would have questioned Mike, who was taking us on the tour. How do I know you are a history buff and you know about this product or this area or this city? How do I know that? Technically, he could have pulled out letters of recommendation. Here's my letter of recommendation. Here's what the city has said about me. Here's what. And so he's saying we don't need these letters of recommendation to validate our walk with God. In other words, you don't have to prove your spirituality to people with paper and ink. Watch this now because it gets juicy. Let me elaborate. The text says, are we commending ourselves? Are we to be like others? In other words, how much of our lives, how much of our time do we spend trying to validate and convince people that we are who we say we are? Remember, it's God's story, not ours. What you should be trying to convince people of, that God is real. Not whether or not you make, I do know him. I know him. I do know him. We used to hang back. Or I do make $80,000 a year. Here, let me show you. Who in the world would bring their pay stub to show a friend, somebody, just to prove what you make? How much of our lives do we try to validate with our friends and with social media? We're trying to, listen, what do they even say on social media, Instagram or Snapchat? You can build a story. That's what it is. You can create a story. Your pictures tell a story. Your posts tell a story. And all those stories are about who? Most times, some people say, there's this one section, and y'all know it's true. They say they have a picture album. It's called Just Me, right? It's just me. In other words, these are pictures of just me. And now this is the selfie generation, right? Where everybody is focused on themselves. Here's the problem with that. Most people who are trying to prove themselves to others who they are don't even know who they are. So they are trying to get validation for somebody who they think they are or trying to be to somebody else who they're trying to be with, to please their mama, please their husband, please their friends. So I'm going to try to project what others are projecting on me and trying to prove that. And God says, it's not even your story. Amen. Write your story, God. Write your story on my heart. That's what we're asking. So he says then, are we to be like others who do this? He says, non-believers do this. Why? Because they ain't got nothing else. We have somebody higher than ourselves. We know somebody greater than ourselves. When I think about God and what he's, listen, try to spend a day reading about God, and it'll make your story sound stupid, because his stories talk about rolling back the Red Sea and letting people walk across on dry land, laying somebody out. Somebody fell out the window and died while Paul was preaching. Paul goes down, lays his hand on him, and raises him back to life. A blind man calls out to Jesus up in a tree, Zacchaeus, and Jesus walks by and says, this day you shall have salvation in your house. house simply because you believed on me. The centurion comes to him and says to him, my daughter is sick. He says, well, let me go to him. He says, no, I know you have authority. You don't even have to come to my house. Just speak the word. And if you say it, it'll line up. When he got to his house, he asked the servants, what time was it when my daughter got healed? He said, around 2 o'clock. And he said, well, that's just when I asked Jesus. If you read his stories, you will become enamored with life again. If you think about you, of course you'll be depressed. There's enough bad in your life to keep you downtrodden. But when I think about Jesus and all that he's done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah, because when I was broke, it was God. When I was sick, it was God. When I was looking for a place to live, it was God. When I was going through depression, it was God. When I was hungry, it was God. When I didn't have a car, it was God. When I was thumbing on the road, it was God. When I used to have to roller skate because I couldn't afford bus fare to school, it was God. When you think about God and all of his stories, just read about Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, Job. Talk about what God has done through minimal men like you and me. It is his story and it is not ours. You read the word for God, not to find a solution for yourself. When you let God be the first thing and the priority of your life, it makes your stories minuscule. Somebody say it's God's story. So stop living your life like you need letters. Stop living your life like you need somebody to prove that your walk with God is authentic. Stop trying to go around and show people that, you know, I deserve this. Wait a second. Nobody has to validate whether you deserve it or not. If you got it, God gave it to you because of what he decided to do for you. You are where you are because of what God has done in your life. Keep the story on him. Go around bragging about what you did. Brag about what God did. Even the Bible said, the Israelites, the Jews said, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side. Do you hear me? Next time you tell a story, start it off with God. Amen. I want to say God, not the universe, not karma, not all this. I'm talking about God. Jehovah, Yahweh, El Elyon, El Adonai, El Shaddai. All of those terms for Lord, God, the Father of our country, of our world, absolutely. So do you need personal letters?
No.
No. Autumn, do you need personal letters? You don't need to prove. Is anybody getting that freedom that I'm trying to share with you? So stop worrying what others think. Paul is making it clear. You guys won't let me come preach to you in your city because you're asking me for letters of recommendation. I don't need letters of recommendation. My walk with God, or old saints, you say, when you know what you know, what you know, what you show enough know. Can't nobody do me like Jesus. And in the older other song, you say, can't nobody tell it like I can. Why? Because it's my story. It's what God has put on my heart. Come on. God is the focus. Can you say that? Say it again. God is good. Say it.
God
saves. Say it. God provides. God is great. God is the first and the last. Come on, somebody, give him some praise. Look here. Let's not make life about ourselves. Let's make it about what God is doing for others through our lives. Let's read that together. Let's not make life about ourselves. Let's make it about what God is doing for others through our lives. Amen. That's it. Impact. And I've been preaching that all year. The reason we get a relationship, a personal relationship with God, is so we can have impact. You can't have impact if you don't have a relationship with God. It is his story. H-I-S-S-T-O-R-Y. History. Oh, history. History. Past experience. What is history? History is your story from yesterday. History is your story from last month. History. Well, how many of those stories began and started with God? Then those stories are what will have impact. Those stories replace your letters of recommendation. Do you get what I'm saying? Watch how this unfolds. Because a story is nothing but an account of incidents and events. That's it. When the investigator comes on the scene and they ask little Ben, they say, Ben, tell me what happened. Amen. What are they asking for? For your story. Yeah. Tell me. The news journalists, come on all the news stations to tell a story. Come on. Everybody's out there asking you, what's your
story?
Come on. It ain't nothing but an account of incidents and events. A statement regarding the facts. How can you not know that God saved you? Come on, tell them about the facts. How do you know? Oh, let me tell you how I know. Wait a minute. And you don't have to. Here's the thing. I don't have to go to scripture for that. Come on, man. Talk back to me, bro. I don't have to go because everybody's saying fear. They're afraid. I don't have a testimony. I have a witness. I don't know how to. I don't know which scriptures to pick. You don't need the scripture. Tell them your story. I used to smoke crack 3 times a day, every day. God bless you, you still living. You do that. But I don't smoke it at all now. And I don't because one day I got saved. Jesus, I accepted him in my heart. Well, how you know? How you know you just didn't? I didn't take no drugs. I didn't go to the doctor. I didn't go to no rehab. I didn't go to no kind. I didn't have no withdrawal. Something happened to me. And even scientists have to accept what they cannot always prove. All right, I got to go on. We don't need you. Paul was saying, we don't need you to write us a letter, bro. God has written our story. Let's go to part two. Part two and the last part of this message. Let God write the story. First one is God's story. It's not yours, right? So let God write it. Let God be the one who's drafting your life. Have you ever watched a painter paint? Some of you have been to those caricatures at amusement park where you kind of sit there and you, as a friend, you're watching them put together. And all of a sudden it starts off as a little shade. But then after 30 minutes or so, oh, that kind of looked like you, right? That's how God is. He's writing your story out. But you have to let God write the story. Stop trying to, Mike, stop trying to put in new chapters. Sasha, stop Sasha trying to give him new. Well, put this in there, God. Add this. I want, change the plot. Can you bring in this character? No, Tyrone ain't supposed to be in this chapter. Leave Tyrone out. I'm trying to script this for you. But I need that job. That job pays good money. That job also going to kill you with stress. I'm trying to keep that off of you, but you're trying to write it in the scripture. Right. Have you ever written on the outside of a story already written? In other words, you put writings outside the margin. Yeah. The story's already written, and you're trying to. All right. Let God write the story. Number two. The only letter of recognition, here's what he said. Remember the first part, I don't need letters, God's story. Why? The only letter of recognition we need is you yourselves. People. Your lives are, there it is, read it, it's in highlight. Your lives are a letter written where? Where's the letter? Point to it. Where's the letter? So doesn't the Bible say guard your hearts? You got to protect this. Why? Because that's where my That's where my stories are. Ooh. So when people don't want to be vulnerable, when people are scared, they're scared to tell their. Because the stories include, even if you read the Bible, the Bible talks about people getting killed. The Bible talks about divorce. The Bible talks about people not being able to eat, famines and dearths. It's not all success. What you think your story is going to be? When God writes your story, it's going to include loss. And gain. You're going to be first and you're going to be the last. You're going to be broke and you're going to have more than enough. He's got to teach you both sides of the coin. Nobody wants to walk around with a quarter with two heads on it. I want heads and I want tails. Why? Because sometimes you win and sometimes you lose. Come on, somebody. So guard your heart, because in it are the issues of life. Everyone. No, look out. Trouble now. Who can see it? Who?
Everyone.
Everyone can read it and recognize our good work among. I don't need a letter, because people can look at you and look at me and determine if I'm authentic. Can I preach here clearly? Oh, I like that. I like that. There's a definitive. Clearly, you are a letter from Christ showing the result of our ministry among you. I don't need a letter. Why? Because you're the result of my living. If I go preach at another church and they say, well, let me see your degree. Let me make sure you're ordained. What I should do is walk up in there with 20 of you and say, I didn't bring my ordination papers, but I brought a few saints. Amen. Sit down and talk to them for 20 minutes, a half hour, and let me know if it authenticates. Should I be able to preach in your... By how your life impacts others, shall others be able to determine your walk with God? This letter is written not with pen and ink. So if you're looking around the house for an actual book, you're looking for a journal, you're looking for a letter, and I have my degrees. I put my degrees on the wall. When we do Bible study, you can see them sometime. They're on the wall. Who has their bachelor's degree in a frame? Anybody have your degrees or certificates in a frame? What are you trying to do? You're trying to preserve what you have accomplished. And when people come in your office, they feel better if you got about 3-4 of them puppies up on the wall before they sit down and do what? Tell you there's, come on. But when you at Starbucks, you don't walk around, Jesus, you don't walk around with your plaques and your certificates and your achievements. People have 15 minutes to figure out if you mean them good or bad. Talk about the exchanges that occur between blacks and officers and police brutality. By the time they pull you over, you've got a matter of minutes to authenticate whether or not you're trouble and you deserve to be shot, or whether or not they should go the right way with you. I'm telling you, every situation is a judgment call within minutes. You walk on the new job, all the coworkers and all the employees, guess what they're doing? Sizing you up to determine whether or not you even deserve to be their manager. People have already decided you ain't their boss. And you just got there in 1 week's time. People will in 30 minutes decide who you are. Paul said, let them try it. I'm not going to walk around with papers to cut, with papers every time to try to prove to you who I am. I will live my life under the anointing of God. And I will surround myself with people who have been impacted by my life, so that if I ever have to explain who I am, I can call in. What do they do in courtroom? What do they call?
Witnesses.
God dog it. You can call a witness who will testify and bear. What are they witnessing to? Your story. I was there. I know he preached. Who is James? Who is Matthew? Who is Luke? Who is all of his disciples? They were 12 people who were there. And they wrote it in a book. But I don't carry the book, Jeree, with me all day, every day. But thy word have I hid. Where? In my heart. I put it in my heart, so that you don't have to read it with a pen. Amen. I will live it out. Amen. Where is the word written, folk? in your heart. Put the word in your heart. It will change your cussing. The word will change your appetite. The word, I know it will. The word will change your desires. The Bible said, thy word have I hid in my heart. Why? That I might not sin against thee. In other words, the word will stop you from sinning. Amen. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light. The word in my heart helps me see, tells me where to go, who to talk to, and what to do. So let God write the letter. How many of you have taken a resume class? Have you, all you written? Well, I hope you have. Anybody written a resume? You put a, okay, you put a, so build your resume. How? By building people. My best resume is Ben Cain. My best resume is my own children. My best resume is my wife. My best resume is folk from the Grace Place. My best resume is folk from the hood of 64th and Normandy. My best, because I can go way back. They don't come to my church. My best resume are folk I played softball with. My best resume are folk who I know used to smoke the reefer. It was just called reefer back then, sherm back then. Now it's kush or whatever. But my best resume are people who came to me and said, pray for me, Rev. And the thing I prayed for changed their lives. My best resume are the people's lives I touched. Who can you confidently say you've had impact on? Who will be able to verify your story? Amen. And I'm telling you, you can have a, who was that? Baby girl, little Casey Kiwanis child was telling me about a friend of hers at school who was having some trouble. And she was concerned. And I said, baby, I said, well, you can pray for him. And she said, well, she won't always talk to me about it. I said, that's okay, just be there. Just be close and pray for that person, your friend. And in other words, you can have impact. That little sweetheart can have a witness to help her story. Do you have stories at, I don't know, how's Casey? 8, 7, 8, something about there? Do you have stories at 8? Come on, Sasha, you're about to be 16, right? 15, you're 15. Just had your birthday. When is your birthday? May 26th, so you just have a happy birthday. See? So turn 15. You have a chance to get stories by how you act at school. Okay. Build your resume by building people. Your lives are a letter written in our hearts. Now, when you, how many of you, well, anybody ever look at resumes to hire? Anybody? When you look at the resumes, it lists what? Like duties, tasks, all stuff, responsibilities, right? But what do? After you look at their resume, what do? You still talk, you set up a what? Interview. Because I want you to come in and do what? I need you to tell me what this paper says. And eventually you move away from, after you start interviewing them, the paper goes away. And what's the first, we know it, this is what HR says. I remember when it came out, it was a change in the verbiage. They say, ask them to tell me about a time when, that's the HR verbiage. Tell me about a time when you had to terminate an employee. How did you handle it? What are they asking? Tell me how you fired somebody. Because when I listen to you tell me the story, I can tell whether you're lying or not. Because what does the text say? Everybody can read your heart. Now you're thinking, I'm hiding it, I'm protecting it. Everybody can read your heart. Okay, I'll show it in just a second. They move from paper to your story. The point is, don't depend on the paper. In ministry, when I was preaching, when I first started preaching, I was on the paper. I mean, I was on that paper. I was reading it line for line sometimes. I couldn't get away from the paper. But as I began to grow and mature and to be led by the Spirit, I move away from the paper. Now, I have an outline, but the outline is just to serve points. But in my mind, I have the mindset of already, if you took this away, I could still finish the sermon because I know where I'm going and I know what I'm talking about. Because I know the story. Haven't you ever seen people start reading, they read, and they get messed up, and they say, let me just put this down. So what happened was, and the story is so much better because they just told it from the heart. Listen to this, and I'll let you go. The only reason people need paper and legal validation is because, one, they have no real stories of impact. If you don't have nothing to share, all you're going to do is show your papers. That's all you're going to do. Two, they show their papers because their lives are so shallow, all of their relationships require proof to vouch for who they really are. In other words, their lives are so meaningless and so shallow, they have to have something else to prove that they're authentic. Third, our friendships are so meaningless that when it is time to really be that friend to someone in a really difficult time, you're still questioning, can you trust them? Have you ever had a friend you've been friends with for 5 years, but something happened in your life and you need them to be the ones to sign on your hospital or to give your keys or watch your kids or whatever. And after 5 years you've been together, when it goes to give them that authority, you still question it. You second guessing a friendship that you've been in for 10 years. That means that friendship is shallow as I don't know what. And so what do you need? Papers. That's all you did with that friend all year long, sharing papers with each other. Never sharing. Couples do it all the time. They get a marriage certificate and all they do is share that paper. But never share their. Oh, this is good preaching. I'm going to get this tape myself. I'm going to sit down and listen to this myself. So people need constant outside validation and affirmations. Haven't you ever seen people who always referring to something to validate? Now, come on, stop bringing up Tim. And you keep bringing up yesterday. Tell me about you. They don't have nothing to tell. But when you let God write your story, he aligns your relationships. He lines them up so that your stories make He orders the right jobs. He orders the right marriages. He creates the right memories that become part of your heart letters. Do you know that there's a, think right now of something that a good memory you had, an event, a place you went to. You could remember right now some special time in your life, right? What makes that event different from the other 99 you went to? Something about that event. Lodged, when you hear about it, when you think about it, you get all warm. When you look at the pictures, it does something for you, right? Those are the stories that God writes. The stories that you can't remember are not from God. So sometimes we say, watch this, just give me a few more minutes. I know I'm off script. We say, forgive and forget. But sometimes there's some things you can't forget. And God doesn't want you to forget because it's part of your story. But there's some stuff he says, yes, don't ever bring that up. And why? Because he didn't write that. Do you know that every book goes through edits? Do you know that there are copy editors, copywriters? There are people who go through and they cut up everything and say, you don't need this and you do need this. That's what God does. You write all this stuff, and by the end of the year, we come down to our end of spiritual year, and God says, let's see, March, April, May, we could do without that. But in June, you had a good year. You had a good month. July, you had a good month. We're going to keep that. That's going to be part of your story. And come the end of the year, you should have a story for 2017. And any good movie has done great editing. Oh, come on. People don't film a movie and just throw it out there, deep, leave all the footage in there. Haven't you ever seen outtakes at the end where they say, well, this was in there, but we didn't show it because it didn't fit? What in your life is an outtake that you're choosing not to forget? One of the hardest things for me to do is delete a song, because I always think, one day I might be able to use it. No, it ain't no good. Scrap it. You can write another one. I got all these songs taking up storage drive space. I ain't going to never do nothing with them. Some of them been in there for years. I could throw them away. People are a blessing. So build your resume by building people. Look at this one. God's letters are public reading. Your heart. And I know that what I do in your life is public reading. God's letters detail our servanthood. God's letters usually are about how you've helped or blessed somebody else. Tracking? God writes with spirit, not ink. So don't go around thinking that there's, you know, he can't call the phone company and get the text message. This is hidden in my. Sometimes you can know what people are saying and they don't even open their mouth. Why? Because scripture says it like this: deep calls to deep. In other words, heart calls to heart. And if you're a parent, your children can talk to you. You know something is wrong. Why? Because their heart, you can read it. They say, what's wrong? Nothing. Mm-mm. I'm reading it. So you can come in here, and that's why when I have that line, when you come down the line, I'm reading your heart. That's why, God's story lives in hearts, not on paper, said that one. All right. So is that helpful for you?
Yeah.
All right. Then let me conclude. Be the story that's easy to read. Can you say that? Be the story that's easy to read. It's us telling God to write his story on our lives, on our hearts. It's not us writing and telling our own stories. Seek to be found by God and seek to find God in all that you do and become. In other words, in your next experience, the next party you go to, the next event you go to, try to see God in it. Try to find God in it. Try to let God see you in it and ask him, is this going to be part of my story? And sometimes, you know how you some of them, you know, you take a test and they post the grades on the wall. And what do? You go and everybody's at the wall. Did he post them yet? We're trying to find out, is this gonna pass or fail? That's how you should evaluate your life and determine, is God going to use that? So live by being a blessing to others. Can you say that? Live by being a blessing to others. Number two, live with your heart wide open. Live with your heart wide open. So in other words, don't try to hide it, because people can read it anyway. Just go on and just tell the truth. Now, you don't have to tell everything. Some things, just let people read it. You don't have to help them. Just, if they read it, good, you know. And I ain't got some good friends, they don't have to tell you everything. You know. Just, you got me? I got you. They don't have to tell me they sinned. They don't have to tell me what they did wrong. I got you. That's what friendship is. Well, tell me everything. Tell me. Well, you need to tell me. No. No, just read my heart. If you're my good friend, you can do it. Three, live so God can write. Ooh, I like that. Say that with me. Live so God can write. In other words, live your life open enough so God can be. Next time you're at work and you're getting ready to cuss somebody out, think about God writing that in your book. Makes you. Right? Last one, be a book that everyone can read every day. Tomorrow's Monday. Church is over. PC ain't here. You don't even care. Not nothing spiritual in your life, but every day you got to live like somebody is watching you and let God write his story in your heart. I'm PC, and that's all I got.